Hello, I'm Barbara Peters. I'm at the Poison Pen, and it is Tuesday, February 6th, and I am surrounded by two beautiful women, Gardner and Gardner. The I is important because one is Meg Gardner, and the other is Lisa Gardner. Meg, your book actually published last week, if I remember.
It did, Into the Black Nowhere. It's been out a week.
So exciting.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be back here again. Mm-hmm. It's always wonderful to get out to Scottsdale and see you, and it's even better to have a fellow author here. We're gonna like switch clothes and act like we're the other person tonight at the when we get into the store, trying to confuse people when we get.
I love it. Well, so you're kind of different sizes, so I'm not sure that's going to be a successful ploy. But
May
nonetheless,
and I have been threatening to sign each other's novels and see who figures it out.
That's a really good idea. I love that. Well, you know what? We really missed you. You were in England for quite a long time, so we only snagged you once or twice.
Well, that,
in the past.
I was in England for a long time. I'm a Californian who was living in London for years and years, but now I live in Austin, Texas. So getting out here is really easy, and I'm always glad to do it.
Well, we're delighted. It was so much fun to have you here for Unsub, which is the start of this. Well, it's a reboot, right, from other things that you've written.
Yeah, Unsub is the first book in a new series about a young cop, Caitlin Hendricks, and the book I'm here for tonight, Into the Black Nowhere, is book two in the series, where she has now moved up to the FBI and is investigating a very desperate serial killer case.
You know what I really liked about this book is the way you develop the relationships with Caitlin and with her lover, Sean. Do mm-hmm. I have that right?
Yes.
They're not just mere puppets serving the action, but they're really living and breathing. And that was always the strength of your earlier books, was your characters.
Well, thank you. I mean, they're real people to me. They're completely real. They may not exist in the outside world, but I think they're perfectly real, and I want exactly as real as I do.
Thank you. That was Dana Stabenow interrupting with the text. We'll just ignore her and carry right on. I knew there was going to be a flaw in this. So, Lisa Gardner, you have done some wonderful things by bringing together characters from various books in new configurations and relationships, like in this one, Flora Dane and Dee Dee Warren.
Yes, so I'm here for Look For Me. It's on sale as of today, and it's great once again to have the debut with you, Barbara, at the Poison Pen. This is my 20th novel. I didn't actually know that.
Oh my God, is it really?
Yeah, Jeff Ayers had to tell me that. And I was like, really, is it? So this is my 20th book. And to have some fun, it is a Detective Dee Dee Warren novel, my Boston homicide detective. And then I introduced a couple books ago Flora Dane, who is a victim turned vigilante. And readers have just responded so strongly to her. I think there's just this interesting phenomenon right now in America. What is criminal justice? I mean, I think we like our crime novels, we like our detectives. From what I can tell, we like our vigilantes way better, though. Like, if you give readers, I think, a choice of who they're rooting gets the bad guy first, the detective, Dee Dee, who's going to arrest him, or Flora Dane, who's going to maim him, I'm pretty sure the money's on Flora. So it's been a lot of fun to bring these two women together. I kind of consider them two halves of the same crime-fighting coin. They both want justice. They both really care. We have a missing girl in Look For Me. What happened to her? How do they find them? They just have two very different approaches for how to get that job done.
They really do. I thought the missing girl was interesting, and the fact that she went walking with the, I hope this, I have this right, I read it before New Zealand, the family dogs, right?
Yeah, so this was fun for me. In the real world, I'm involved with the Humane Society. So each year I have a fundraiser for the shelter where I auction off the chance to memorialize someone's pets. So in the case of Look For Me, Blaze and Rosie, the two Brittany Spaniels that belong to the family, they were rescue dogs, they're with their forever family, they paid to have their names in the book. And the weird way this works, I then went back to the law enforcement detective who was helping me. I'm like, okay, the family has to have two dogs because I need to memorialize these two dogs. He's like, that's really important. I'm like, well, yeah, it's money for the shelter. He's like, no, if you're a detective and you have a homicide scene, we would definitely look for the dogs because people are much more likely to call in reports on missing dogs than a missing teenager.
Wow.
So it was one of these bizarre things where I was doing something totally off for a different reason. And then the law enforcement guy was like, no, dogs are good. Dogs are really good. We can get somewhere with dogs. People care about dogs. They don't really care about teenagers.
Well, that might be harsh. But at the same time, I thought as a reader, it really gives you hope, you know, that because she went off with the dogs, that A, she didn't massacre her family,
yes,
although, you know, it was sort of on the table. And B, yeah, that if the dogs haven't turned up, then maybe she's with them somewhere. I mean, I'm spoiling anything because we don't know any of this, but I thought it was fascinating.
I wanted an ambiguous situation for the police officers. You know, this family has been killed. The 16-year-old and the two dogs are missing. Did she have part in the killings? Was she the next victim?
Right.
And I wanted you to have reasons to have hope for this family. And I think, you know, a family that took in two elderly blind dogs, you just automatically feel better about them. There's certainly some good in this family. And so you care about what happened to them and what's going to happen next with the missing girl.
So in light of the subject matter that you're both writing about, and since I'd hardly read any email in New Zealand, so I can't remember the name, but there's a woman who has started a new kind of literary award, and it's specifically for, I see you nodding, so you know what I'm talking about. Tell me what it is.
It's a British award, I believe. Is it the Staunch Prize?
Yes, something like that.
For novels that have no violence against women.
So no rape, no serial killing, no decapitation,
no
whatever.
Killing, no killing, no violence at all against women.
Exactly.
I understand the whole point of the prize. I can see why there are certain stories that are told where the violence is gratuitous and the people are injured, tortured, done terrible wrong to advance the plot or to provide a crisis for another character. Mm-hmm. And if that's why the women are killed, just if they're treated as throwaway objects by the author and the audience, then that, I think, devalues women in real life. Me writing, I always try to take the violence seriously. I never want it to be glorified, sensationalized, seen as fun, balletic, or as anything that's other than something that has really terrible consequences. And in my books, the victims and the villains and the bad guys are all men and women. So I doubt any of my books would be up for this prize.
Yeah, I agree with what you say, Meg. I don't like it when authors treat their own characters as disposable or throwaway. I think, yes, I do write about violence towards women, but particularly in the case of Flora Dane and Look For Me, you're also seeing a character's response to that violence and how it's helping forge who she is and the empowerment she is now looking for and the true strength that is inside of her. I always think of a thriller novel as being a bit of a boot camp. And we do terrible things to our characters. We're trying to break them down, but the whole point of a great suspense novel is, and they rise to the occasion. It is the stronger, leaner, meaner character that emerges at the end that matters. But if we didn't put them under stress, how can you have the hero's journey? How can you see their growth?
When I was in the Auckland airport, and I had that terrible moment that overcomes us readers, which I thought, whoops, I might run out of books. So I purchased one published by Fremantle, an Australian publisher, written by an author who'd won their best first novel, Ned Kelly Award, but he set it in New Zealand because he lives there part-time. And it is, in fact, a serial rapist killer book, but the victims are all young boys.
Oh, that's
and I wondered, you know, if that changes the stakes. Do you think readers might react differently? You know, are the stakes higher if it's women? Do you have any thoughts about that?
No, I think the stakes are dreadful if it's children.
Yeah, it was young. The word that caught me wasn't boy. The word that caught me was young. A violence towards children is so hard. I mean, it's hard. And it's interesting, as someone who includes animals in my novels, I can tell you now, one of the first caveats you have to make is nothing bad. I mean, we can injure beautiful blonde
right.
women, but no dog will be hurt in the making of this novel. That's very important to readers.
Yeah.
So I will add as an aside, since we're talking about dogs, that the most positive thing that my husband and I did when we went on our trip to New Zealand is we sent our two dogs to boot camp. Here
so
in Scottsdale, the
doing?
Rescue dog had developed a nasty habit of nipping at ankles. She doesn't like men in uniforms and so forth.
Oh.
And I'm telling you, it was a miracle. We got them back Sunday. We went through a three-hour training session. The little dog, we got a video of her sitting in Kmart all by herself with no leash or nobody and just sitting there and behaving. We thought it was a fake video.
I could never even get one of my children to do that.
We could have used this in a book.
Really?
I mean, boot camp? This is gold.
Well,
I mean, this is great.
I'm offering it up to you, but it's a real business. And actually, effective. But the hard part, of course, is to train the owners.
Yeah.
You know. But I thought when you mentioned rescue dogs for the family, you know, how many of us do take in rescue pets? It doesn't have to be a dog, could be, you know, whatever, and how much that matters. I really like, too, the way that you engage with your readers in your afterwards or forwards, whichever it is, but I think it's the afterwards. You always talk about how you involved your readers in coming up with your next story.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that is terrific, the way you bring them in and engage them. Are you going to be able to do that with your... is this going to be a serial killer bonanza here?
I wouldn't say bonanza. There are a lot of bad guys out there, and Caitlin is very good at catching them. So we'll see who she ends up going after. But
I like that way of putting it.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't all have to be serial killers. I mean, she in theory can work, you know, almost any case, right?
Of course, yes.
So that'll be wonderful. Once again, the Poison Pen staff has joined us. That's all right. Dana Stafanos already texted in the middle of this. But anything that you would like to say that we might not cover in our discussion later on to your readers?
Thank you. Readers are the reason I write, and the Poison Pen is one of the reasons that the readers can get the books into their hands. So I'm really happy to be here tonight with you guys.
Wow, what a diplomatic answer. I'm odd.
I love this answer too, and I have to say one of the best part of book tours for someone like me is to get out and get to visit bookstores and see books in their natural habitat. I live in the mountains, so I don't get this experience too often, and it's like you take authors like Meg and I and you turn us loose in the candy store. It is so much fun to meet with readers, to meet with bookstore owners, and to get you to see books and beautiful stores. And it just, as much as we love books, it just gives us all hope for a better tomorrow.
I just love the whole idea of feral books that you just introduced. Do you know there is an app where you can track a book if you give it away, like put it on a park bench
like
or something?
Like they did for dollar bills for a while.
Yep.
They
were tracking. And I've always thought that would be such an interesting
thing to do. Actually,
you know, to set that up and put your book. But I was wondering, you know, if one could actually build a story around it or use it in some kind of a tracking.
Thank you, Barbara.
That's okay. You come to the Poison Pen for a plot ideas, nothing else. Well, ladies, thank you so much for a few minutes of time, and we'll sally forth and do your actual formal event.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thanks, Barbara.